Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I don't look at anybody in the major leagues as a lesser guy. I mean, they don't have any Cy Youngs maybe on their wall, but they're still major league pitchers. And I know that guy tonight probably felt like he had something to prove against us after the last time, and he did a really good job.
Braves manager Brian Snicker talking about Zach Eflin of the Philadelphia Phillies. Look, Philadelphia is scrambling here. They are playing with a sense of urgency. Welcome back to the morning show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 90 Time the Game. And we haven't seen them play with all year, and if I were a Phillies fan, I'd be like, where the hell was this all season long? You know, you guys are finally playing like it means something. And as a result, they've taken the series from the Braves, regardless of what happens this afternoon at SunTrust Park. Bryce Harper hit that bomb of a home run last night. The Braves are just kind of like wallowing through right now, kind of in a little bit of a funk. We haven't seen this in quite a while. We're, you know, so used to them when they ripped off all those wins, you know, and everything kind of coming together for them. They get a, you know, great pitching outing, great bullpen, a great defense, or timely hitting. And right now it's just kind of, you know, you want them to clinch, but it's taking a little longer than we thought it might.
I think it's tough because of who you're playing against. Number one, you're playing against a team that is fighting for their playoff lives. And number two, it's you tend to let up a little bit. It's human nature to let up a little bit when you're so close, and that's where they have to get it. They have to get it corrected because they are a better team than the Phillies. They've shown that. They've shown that throughout the way that they've played all year long. It's just that now you got the Phillies on a desperation situation, and you're looking at it more so. You know, you're ready to crack open the box on the T-shirts. And you're ready to crack open the champagne bottles. You got to take care of business first. I think that's the biggest thing. Being two games away from clinching, that's excitement within itself. You know, you're going home, you're going to the grocery store, and people are talking to you about how great you're playing this season and everything like that. And you're trying to, you know, as a player, you're trying to downplay it a little bit. But you know, when you come to the stadium, you feel the energy, you feel the difference. You know the fans are excited. You know that they're stoked about who you could potentially match up with. And you're kind of, as a player, you're kind of looking at that too. And you're wondering how it's going to play out. You got to put all that behind you. You got to put all that behind you. Go out there and just play. You got to finish out strong.
And the Braves aren't doing that at the moment. If they had won last night, they could have clinched today. Of course, now they cannot clinch today because, as you said, Hugh, it's the magic number is two, and Washington does not play today. So even if the Braves beat Aaron Nola today, they can't clinch. It'll be tomorrow at the earliest when they take on the San Francisco Giants in the final three-game home series of the season here. Look, this is the first time in nearly 2 months that you've lost a series. It's the first time in 2 months that you've lost three games in a row. And a little bit of that is spoiled, but we'd like to see them kind of, again, go in the front door. The last thing I want to have happen is for them to sit around and wait for the Nationals to clinch on Friday night by having the Nationals lose over the weekend here. So, and to get this done so we can move on, it's one of our poll questions today on the morning show with John and Hugh at our Twitter at 929 the game. Who do you want the Braves to play in the NLDS? Because it's a foregone conclusion the Braves are going to win the East. It's also a foregone conclusion at this point they are not going to be the number one seed. So they're going to face the NL Central champion. Now that's most likely the St. Louis Cardinals, who lead both the Brewers and the Cubs by three games. But, you know, we've seen this before. I mean, three games can be a very untenable lead if one of those other two. Brewers have been hot lately, even without Christian Yelich. I give Milwaukee a lot of credit. When Yelich went down, there were a lot of people said, over for the Brewers. They're done. And because, you know, you lose the guy that's essentially the MVP of the league.
Yeah, you would have had like 44 home runs or something like that. He was out there knocking the cover off the ball, and to lose a guy like that and still be alive, I think that's pretty impressive. But at the same time, it still kind of makes you weak because that's one of the guys that you were definitely dependent on.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, I think if I'm not mistaken, with the Brewers, the bullpen has been somewhat of an issue. I think out of all the teams that you could potentially see, the Cardinals are probably the ones that present the biggest problem right now or this early on when you talk about teams that you can match up with because of their pitching. So yeah, that would probably be a team that I would like to probably see if the opportunity presented itself. Doesn't look like that's going to be the case though. But if I had a choice, it would probably be the Brewers.
Yeah, and the Cardinals look like they're going to be the team, and that'll be a tough out. I mean, the Cardinals have a couple of big hitters. You know, you got Paul Goldschmidt, you've got DeJong, who's obviously having a tremendous year as a rook, and you got a couple of great pitchers, and Hudson and Wainwright and whatnot. And we'll certainly be looking a lot at the St. Louis Cardinals, next week once this is all kind of settled and done. We're talking about some of the headlines this morning on a Thursday with John and Hugh as you head into work. Another one of them. Hot days, not quite as hot in the past, but it's going to be a wonderful afternoon at SunTrust Park because
it's cooling off. That's what I like about it. Chesley says it's going to be a pretty nice cool day. It's starting to cool off. It's cooled off this morning. It was pretty cool this morning. So, yeah, the weather started to change a little bit.
I hope so. Because
pretty soon I'll have to break out the pajamas.
You know, I just looked at the long-range forecast here for the next 2 weeks, and on October, 2 weeks from now, on October like the 2nd, the high is supposed to be 93. It's like,
and you have a problem with that because?
Because I want it to be fall. 93 is not fall. 93 is like August 2nd, not October 2nd.
I'll take it. I lived up north for a long time. October come around, that's when you get slapped across the lips with cooler weather. I'll take 93. And I'll take a Halloween where you can wear, like little midriff tank top stuff outside. And go to Halloween parties. I take that all day. Matter of fact, I'm trying to figure out what I want to dress up. I know we got a little
way. You're going to wear a tank top for Halloween?
No, I wasn't talking about me, John. I forgot. I'm talking about the young ladies that like to wear the little like katana outfits and stuff of that nature, little ninja outfits. You know, dress up like Chun-Li on Halloween or Sailor Moon. I take the Sailor Moon back. That's kind of creepy.
Yeah,
you don't even know who Sailor Moon is, John.
Yeah,
Sailor
Moon is a cartoon.
Who is she?
I don't know. She's like a ninja, and she's like 15 years old, right? I'm close.
Something like that, John.
I'm close. I'm in the realm.
I give you kudos for knowing that much. I didn't even know you knew that much about Sailor Moon.
I'm in the realm. I'm in the neighborhood, okay? I don't know that I got it exact, but I'm close.
No, you're not bad. That wasn't bad. That wasn't a bad guess. You're not that far off.
Yeah, back to the Braves. I got a couple questions about a couple of players here. One is Dansby. He 0-for-4 last night, Dansby. Since he came back from the DL, he's hitting 156. And here's my question. He worked so hard with Chipper Jones. He was so effective and so good. I don't know how much, his injury hurt him. But I'm wondering if just mentally, remember he was tearing it up in the number two spot so much that we said that, boy, what's going to happen when Dansby comes back? They're going to have a problem in deciding. But you can't move. There's no way you can move Ozzy Albies out of the number two hole. No way. Because he has become a weapon at that number two spot. But I'm wondering if being down at number eight is what's causing Dansby. Am I reading too much into it?
I think you're reading too much into it, John. I don't know what you would expect from him coming back from injury and expecting that, you're going to be at the top of the lineup as far as hitting is concerned. To me, baseball is like any other – it's like any other sport that you have to have the rhythm, like the contact, the rhythm, the mechanics of your swing and everything. Like the close comparison is golf, and I know you know about that because in golf you have to figure out a way to duplicate your swing every time to get the best swing that you possibly can. When you've had the kind of time off that Dansby Swanson has had off, and to try to come back and be the guy that you once were, that's kind of a tough spot to be in. No question about that.
Mm-hmm.
But, as long as you're contributing in a way where, you're out there, you're giving your all for the team and everything like that, even if it is an A spot, that's better than nothing. And to expect him this late in the game to be back to that form, I think that's not fair. I really do.
Here's another guy I'm just wondering a little bit about, and that's Ronald Acuna. Do you get a sense that – look, he reads the papers, as they say. He knows what 40-40 means. He knows what history is. Is he pressing a little bit to get there, you think?
I think he's probably he lunched out on a couple plays last night. He was lunching. One play was in the outfield when he was throwing the second,
mm-hmm.
and he kind of hesitated a little bit when he could have beat it out. I think he's lunching a little bit. I think that, the grind of the season, the potential of him being in the 40-40 club, has probably, gotten to him a little bit. He's probably out there daydreaming a little bit, wondering what it's going to be like to go into the playoffs, winning a division again for the second year, going into the playoffs and potentially what it could be. He's a young player. But you got to go ahead and let that push that down. You got to get ready to play. You got to finish out strong, and you have to get mentally refocused. Now, does that mean him taking probably a day off or something like that? Maybe, but he has to get refocused because he's going to be one of those key guys that you need.
Yeah. Now, presuming he gets a home run, and you know, once the Braves clinch, that's kind of what I'm wondering a little bit. I'm starting, and this is why I bring these two guys up. Maybe once they clinch and you get back, you know, to the final, you know, five or six games of the year, maybe if Ronald could get a home run between now and Sunday, you know, when the Giants series is done, you get that 40 out of the way. Maybe you start to pull him and let Ozzy lead off for a couple of games, move Dansby up to number two, let him hit in that number two spot for a couple of games, and maybe you just let Ronald pinch run, and if he's going to go for 40-40, just send him in the game to pinch run and steal bases for a couple of games.
See, now, I don't know how comfortable I am with messing with his routine. Now, I understand that, like I just said, that he probably needs some rest, but that comes, like, you know, that might just be a day. Like, it's not like we're too close to the end of this thing for me to start fooling around with trying to rest guys, and that might kind of throw somebody off a little bit, you know, especially when, you know, they're locked in. But with him, like I just said, you know, with him being look like he's lunching a little bit, maybe I give him a day off. Maybe give him a day off here or there.
So we'll see what Brian Snicker does with the lineup and how he's going to rest some guys, because we, you know, generally, they kind of feed off each other, and it'll just take one guy. If the bringer of rain can break through today. Look, this is going to be a tough game again today. I mean, Philadelphia trying to hand the Braves their fourth straight loss. They're going to send Aaron Nola to the mound. We all know how good Aaron Nola is. Now the Braves are going to counter with their best starter in terms of the ERA and whatnot, and Mike Soroka. And so this is going to be a heck of a pitching match in a 12-10 start at SunTrust Park. Kind of hope the Braves win this game only because, I don't want to have to sit around tomorrow and worry about what Washington, because Washington not playing today, what Washington does tomorrow and be scoreboard watching tomorrow night. If the Braves win today, Hugh, then all they have to do tomorrow night, again, well, not all that they have to do, but they control their own destiny.
Two is
tomorrow
the
night.
Magic number. Yeah, you got to get one today, and then it'd be one. One to be the magic number, right? One?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they go in the front door against
Nobody likes that. Nobody likes being in a situation at the end. I get that. But, hey, you know, guys just got to refocus. You're still a good baseball team. No question about that. You just got to refocus.
Turning to football, Thursday night football tonight, the only college game of note is Houston and Tulane. The Green Wave actually off to a pretty decent start this year. NFL tonight, which you can hear on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, Tennessee Titans and Jacksonville Jaguars down in Jacksonville, AFC South battle. You know, a lot of little storylines drifting around this. You're going to have Gardner Minshew at quarterback for Jacksonville suddenly because of the injury to Foles. You're going to have Jalen Ramsey's going to play tonight. He hadn't been traded yet. He's requested a trade through his agent, but he hasn't been traded yet, and we'll have to see. Hugh, there's going to be so much focus on Doug Marrone, the head coach, and Jalen Ramsey in any interaction that they have on the sideline.
See, if there ain't any smoke, there probably won't be any smoke. They're not going to air their dirty laundry like that. I don't believe. I think it'd be a smoke-free night. For the people that have on the same color jersey. Now, for somebody else, it might be some smoke, you know, for Gardner Minshew or whatever, but I don't think it'd be any smoke for anybody else.
Tennessee Titans could really use a win on the road, too. The AFC South, if you think about it, is kind of wide open right now. Indianapolis, we'll get to see them, and this is going to be a focus for us because these two teams that are playing tonight, we're going to see them both. Matter of fact, we'll see Tennessee next week at Mercedes-Benz Stadium because we play three straight AFC South teams, Hugh. Indianapolis on Sunday, Tennessee, and then Houston.
Dude. It's some pretty stout backs in the AFC South. It's some workhorses over there. It's got some guys that can tote that rock a little bit. That's going to be interesting. The game against the Colts, I'm going to say that right now, that's going to be an interesting game, them matched up against the Falcons like that. That's going to be very, very interesting.
Yeah, it's going to be a slobber knocker up in Indianapolis. You can bet on that. They want to bring this Falcons defense, which suddenly I wonder if they're getting a reputation. Because that's one of the things I'm going to be really looking forward to here, because that's why we talked about Dan Quinn, about, you know, what kind of identity this defense has. But, boy, for all the talk about speed on defense, they really hit like a ton of bricks against
one game does not give you a reputation, John.
I know.
One game is not. Now, if they do it again this weekend, now you can start to, you know, give them a little bit of a rep as being a physical ball club. Not yet, though. Good start. Way to start it, though.
Hey, do you like to bowl? You don't have to be a bowler if you just like to bowl. Come join us, Hugh and I and Duke Sabel and Andy and Randy and all our stars, Brian Jordan, Marquise Grissom, Muhammad Massacoy, Ronnie Brown, Jason Campbell Moore. We're going to have a Rock and Jock bowling thing for charity next Wednesday. Next Wednesday at Stars and Strikes in Sandy Springs. It's a tournament, but it's kind of like a soft tournament. It's not a serious tournament. For full information at 929thegame.com on our events page. Come join us at Stars and Strikes. Be a lot of fun. Hang out with the guys. Next Wednesday on the 25th at Stars and Strikes in Sandy Springs. Next up, Kelsey Conway covers the Falcons for AtlantaFalcons.com. She's the reporter. We're going to ask her what she's hearing in Flowery Branch as we get ready for this game on Sunday. That's next after a CBS Sports Minute.
We practice, you know, a lot of different cadences to kind of handle the noise, a lot of stuff where we're not really going off the voice. We're going off some other things. I thought we did a nice job, actually, in Minnesota in terms of the cadence. I think we were able to create maybe three false start penalties for them, which is unique when you're on the road. But we have a lot of different cadences that we can use, and we feel like that's an advantage for us when we go on the road.
Well, let's see what they do on the road here after the first road trip didn't go so well this season. Matt Ryan talking about the cadence, but let's get this offense and Matt Ryan in sync. How about that? That would be a good thing. Welcome back to the morning show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 99 The Game. Still coming off that high of the win against the Eagles last Sunday as we look ahead now to the game against the Indianapolis Colts, and we welcome into the program Kelsey Conway, reporter for Atlanta United. Sorry, Kelsey. Same company, though. AtlantaFalcons.com, joining us on the WayFord.com hotline. Hey, Kelsey.
Hey, John. How you doing?
Good, man. So, Kelsey, we look ahead this. Hugh and I were talking about this just a little bit earlier about, you know, the team and where they're kind of at and developing sort of a, you know, a reputation and kind of falling into a kind of a comfort level. You know, the brotherhood was, what, 3 years ago, and now this team has to develop its own identity, right?
Right. Well, I think it's more about the fact that they have the identity. It's just making it a consistent thing every week. They know since Dan Quinn got here, you know, in 2015, he's been very adamant about what he wants in this program. He wants a fast, physical, attacking team, and he wants a team that's really close, full of guys that play for one another. And none of that has changed. Right now for the Falcons, it's just about consistently doing the things that Dan Quinn wants them to do every week and that they've all said, hey, we need to do this.
We're talking to Kelsey Conway, Falcons team reporter on 92.9 The Game. So, Kelsey, you know, Caleb McGarry, he had gave us a little scare last week, but is there any hesitation in him going this week, or is he completely fine?
Dan Quinn said he's going to take Caleb through the week. As you guys said, you know, that was incredible, the level of toughness Caleb McGarry showed being able to come back in that game last week. But Dan Quinn said they're going to take Caleb through the week, and he was going to give us a decision regarding Caleb on Friday. But I would say it's probably a good sign that, you know, he was able to come back in. But, you know, Hugh, as you know, with those injuries, you can wake up the next day and not feel so well. So look for a Caleb McGarry update later on this week.
Kelsey Conway joining us. Same story, Kelsey, with Matt Bosher. Just a wait and see.
Yes. They signed punter to the practice squad this week just as a precautionary reasoning, as you know. But Dan Quinn said regarding Caleb and Matt Bosher, we're going to take them through the week. We don't have to make a decision on Bosher until Friday. He said he'd like to have a decision on Bosher by Friday because he wants to know, you know, before they leave for Indianapolis, kind of what direction they'll be going in. So Friday, Dan Quinn usually gives game updates, and I imagine he'll do that with Caleb and Matt Bosher this week.
Talking with Kelsey Conway, reporter for the Atlanta Falcons at AtlantaFalcons.com, about some of the storylines headed to the game against the Indianapolis Colts and the home opener for Indianapolis. One of those storylines is that, you know, we didn't expect this a month ago, but Jacoby Brissett is your starting quarterback, and that means a different way to kind of prepare because, unlike Andrew Luck, Brissett's got better wheels, but he, you know, he throws the ball in a little bit. And not that he's not effective, he just doesn't throw it quite like Andrew Luck does. So they're going to be run first in this game for Indianapolis.
Yeah, and Jerome Henderson, the Falcons passing game coordinator, spoke to the media yesterday, and he said, you know, Indianapolis is going to try and run the ball on us. They're going to try and keep our offense off the field, and they're going to try and win this game running the ball. And the Colts have been very good in running the ball this season with Marlon Mack. Their first game against the Chargers, they had the most rushing yards of any NFL team. So, you know, and based off of what the Falcons put on film against Minnesota, you know, some teams have identified the run defense as a place where they can attack the Falcons. They had a better outing against the Eagles, but Indianapolis has a very good run offense. And like you said, with Jacoby Brissett, he's very different than Andrew Luck. But Dan Quinn also said they do respect Jacoby's arm. He said he can really sling it from the games that they've watched of him in the preseason and those first two games. So they respect his passing game as well.
We're talking to Kelsey Conway, Falcons team reporter on 92.9 The Game. So, Kelsey, is the matchup going to be Grady Jarrett against Quentin Nelson and determining how much pressure we can get on Jacoby Brissett?
I think so, and I take Grady Jarrett over anyone, you know, lately. And, Hugh, you can attest to this better than I can. Grady Jarrett seems like he's playing on another level this year, and Quentin Nelson is one of the top guards in the league, but I'd still take Grady over Quentin Nelson any day.
We're talking with Kelsey Conway. Hey, Kelsey, let's just step back for a second and take a look at the NFC South here. We come off the Minnesota game, and as you probably heard here on our show in this station, I'm sure you guys heard it on AtlantaFalcons.com from the fans, you know, everybody was, you know, griping and saying, oh my God, the season's going to be terrible and everything, and how things change in the space of a week, and Hugh preaches this all the time to be patient. Now suddenly, you know, we're asking fans, are the Falcons the favorites in the division? If for no other reason than they come off that huge win, we see the potential of this team, what we always thought was going to be the potential of this team. And at the same time, you've got Drew Brees out for at least 6 weeks down in New Orleans. And you've got Cam Newton, who's now obviously got a small injury, but has not played well and been effective. And he's being replaced at the moment in Carolina. Is there a sense among the team of the same thing about how things change in a week?
Well, it's definitely been a storyline all week. You know, both Dan Quinn and Matt Ryan have been asked about it. And as Dan Quinn has said, what they focus on first is taking care of business in the division. That's their goal and that's their plan every year. But the interesting thing about this year is that those division games don't even start until after the Falcons' bye week. So it's good in the sense that, you know, the Falcons will be healthy. They'll hopefully by then, you know, the offense and defense will be humming on all the levels. But they can't overlook these games because, as you guys have seen the past 2 years, the Falcons haven't taken care of business outside of the division, and it's come back to hurt them at the end of the season when they're trying to get in the postseason. You know, those games against the AFC South and the AFC North in the past, those games have, although they're not division games, those games have come back to hurt them in the end because those are wins that they could have had that could have made up for, you know, some potential losses in the division.
Kelsey Conway, you can find her at Falcons Kelsey, K-E-L-S-E-Y, on Twitter, covering the Atlanta Falcons for us and taking a couple of minutes. We appreciate it, Kelsey. I'll look forward to seeing you this afternoon as we get ready for practice in the Indianapolis Colts game on Sunday.
Have a good week, guys.
You Thanks, as well.
Kelsey. Kelsey Conway joining us from Flowery Branch as we get ready for the Colts game. Yeah, to that point about the division being open, I understand this, Hugh. I mean, people think that it's coach speak when Dan Quinn, if he's asked about Drew Brees not playing or Cam Newton not playing and the team coming off this win against Philadelphia and how suddenly maybe hey, are you guys see a division that you could suddenly win? Dan Quinn, it's not coach speak for him to say, look, we got to get our stuff we got to worry about us. We can't worry about a team we're not even going to see till the middle of November. I mean, right now we got to worry only and solely about what we could do in terms of getting our game right and going on the road. Heavens, we're 1-7 against the AFC the last 2 years. Let's fix that first.
Yeah, take care of your own business. Bottom line, you got to take care of your own business first, and then you worry about everybody else. As far as worrying about the division and what's going on around it, yeah, you see in your periphery, but you have to take care of your business first.
Yeah, that's why, you know, I thought about, you know, when we had him on yesterday, you know, I had him on rather, you know, to talk about him, you know, hey, we're going to ask Coach about Drew Brees. I thought, what's the point of it? He's going to say, well, I have no idea whether we're going to face Drew Brees on November the 10th or not. I'll worry about that on November the 10th. You know?
That's not the quarterback that he's worried about.
Right.
One. And, I mean, he would probably look at us and like, for real? You know, we got these 10 minutes, and that's the stupid question you're going to ask me. That's probably what he would have said. He probably would have been nicer about it than that, but he'd have damn sure been thinking it. Like, why are you asking me questions about Drew Brees? We don't even play them no time soon.
Hey. And you know this about Coach Quinn. When he's so nice about it, he'll say, if you ever hear him say this, I recognize the question.
Oh, no. I would not be surprised if we go up this Flowery Branch and he'd be like, hey, yo, Hugh and John. Hey, yo, Hugh, stupid-ass question. Next time, don't ask me no stupid questions like that next time. What do you say after that? All right, dear coach. Because, I mean, it is. At this point, it would be. It would be considered, you know, a stupid question at this point in the season. I would think, yeah.
Yeah, I would think. Yeah, at this point in the season, probably not a good look. Hey, all right, let's shift gears a little bit. The Falcons, by the way, happen to be underdogs on the board against the Indianapolis Colts. Matter of fact, I'll go to the Action Network at theactionnetwork.com coming up in the break here just to see what Chad Millman's posted and what the latest odds are for the game. Hey, you can tune in to 92.9 The Game 2 hours before every Falcons game. Bud Light countdown to kickoff. Harry Douglas and Paul Crane preview the Falcons and the Colts. It's at 11 a.m. this week. Countdown to kickoff brought to you by Bud Light, which is brewed for the Dirty Birds. Chad Millman is going to join us. What does Chad think about the point spread in the Georgia-Notre Dame game, and who's going to cover that? We'll ask the expert as we continue on the morning show with John and you on Sports Radio 92 on the game. Being a wager on the game, we've got the man, Chad Millman. He is our guy from the Action Network, and he joins us this morning on the WaitForIt.com hotline. And, Chad, welcome to you.
Chad.
Boy, I see a lot of money pouring in on them Georgia Dogs. There's a lot of belief that Georgia's going to win this game.
Well, look, it's hard not to, and that line has been exploding. It opened at 11.5. It's now at 14.5. Majority of the bets coming in on Georgia, and look, I think that Georgia is an unbelievably good team that a lot of people think can contend for the national title. And Notre Dame, while they're a top 10 team, there's not a lot of people who believe in them the same way they believe in Georgia. The talent across the board in Georgia is better. You've got a Notre Dame team that is traveling into a hostile environment, playing in a night game, especially in the SEC. That's become something of a sort of a hotbed where it's much, much harder to play. It's much, much harder for a team to get up. The atmosphere is so much more stoked. I've been to games in the SEC on a Saturday night where people are tailgating all day. So I'm not surprised that the money has been pouring in on Georgia.
So, Chad, do primetime games get a different line than the games would get if they say they were like a noon game?
No, they don't get a different line to start, but they start to get a lot more attention. And so what ends up happening is bookmakers are quicker to move the line because they see the money coming in, and they know that because it's going to be a primetime game, because it's what's often called a chase game, right? Like, everybody's been betting all day on Saturday. This happens on Sunday and Sunday night, too, for the NFL. Like, everyone's been betting all day, and if they won, they're feeling really confident and they want to put money down. If they've lost, they're feeling like they got to get that last chance to make some money. So they're quicker to move the line, and I think that's why you're seeing the line moving so much, as much as it did. 3 points from 11.5 to 14.5, crossing a key number is a big move.
We're talking with Chad Millman of the Action Network. If you're going to be looking at the lines this weekend, one of the lines, let's go to the other kind of local line here. The Falcons underdogs in Indianapolis, though the money's come in on the Falcons. Indianapolis opened as a 2-point favorite. It's been bet down to 1 in this game. This is, you know, essentially kind of a toss-up game, and you have to when you get a 1-point line. What are the odds of a tie? I mean, you throw it in the air. You know, it's a pick 'em.
No, you're not wrong. You might as well you might be able to get better odds on the money line, which is just picking the winner straight up.
Right.
The Falcons are a really interesting team. And we talked about this actually last week in relation to their Sunday night game against the Eagles. I was on the Falcons last week when they were playing against the Eagles. I think they got kind of lucky to come out of that game with a win. And I think they're probably getting a little bit too much credit for doing that in a primetime game. And that's why you're seeing some money come in on the Falcons, especially from the public side, so the non-professional bettors. To me, the Colts are the right side here. Their offensive line has just been really good. They've been protecting Jacoby Brissett. We knew they were good going into the year. This is not the same Colts offensive line that forced Andrew Luck into retirement. And their defense has been pretty good. I know Darius Leonard, their middle linebacker, is in the concussion protocol, so it's still unclear if he's going to play this weekend. But I'm a big fan of the Colts, and I've actually been on the Colts in both of their games in the first two games this year. And I still go back to, like, they should have won that Chargers game. Adam Vinatieri left some points on the board. They should have won that Titans game much, much easier than they did. And, again, I think Adam Vinatieri left some points on the board. So I'm a believer in this Colts team, and I'm not a believer in the Falcons at all.
We're talking to Chad Millman of the Action Network here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. How much, you know, we all know that Eli Manning got benched this week. How much did Eli Manning's benching affect the line for the Giants against the Bucs?
All of 0 points, Hugh. It opened at 6.5. It's currently 6.5. Eli Manning, who was finishing his career, is not the Eli Manning who was starting his career or won the two Super Bowls or really had any kind of influence on the line. And the truth is, like, Eli Manning was never at the Tom Brady, Drew Brees, Aaron Rodgers level. Mm. You know, those guys, when they lead a game, when they're not playing, that's a significant anywhere from a 5 to 7 point swing in the point spread. Eli Manning doesn't have that impact. At his best, he was about a 3 point difference in the point spread. The way he's been playing, he's a non-impact as a quarterback. So bookmakers are not looking at this as any kind of significant change when they're thinking about their power ratings.
Chad Millman of the Action Network, we're going to have to work on this belief in the Atlanta Falcons thing with him, aren't we, over the year? Yeah, we'll get to that a little bit later on.
I will tell you guys.
You'll learn.
anyone who's – I've had a podcast for several years called The Favorites. And the folks – I had it when I was at ESPN, and when I came to Action Network, I brought it with me. I am known to never believe in the Falcons. I have thought – I know this is not going to make me popular. I have thought the Falcons were always the kind of team that played really well in the beginning of the year, but when you look back on their record as they started to fade at the end, they look like a team that beat teams everyone thought would be good, and then it turns out they weren't very good, but they were getting more credit than they deserved. And so I've never been a big fan of the Falcons as a better.
Oh, okay. Well, that's fine. Except this is a pick 'em game, but that's okay. We get to a couple other things in the NFL here. If I told you that the NFL had one line at minus 21.5 and another line at minus 22.5, you would think I was talking about, you know, an SEC team against a directional
school.
One
of them would probably be the Dolphins, I would venture to
Dallas, guess. Dallas, a 21.5-point favorite over the hapless Dolphins, and the New England Patriots, a 22.5-point favorite over the Luke Falk Jets here. How do you play these games when the line is so big?
It's so hard. And look, this is the first time in our database, going back to 1993, that we can see this happening. It's astonishing. And the Patriots are so interesting because they break every rule. You really can't bet against them. And I think there's a couple of things going on here. One, the market has changed. Like, the idea that you automatically are going to bet on a home underdog or a dog of, you know, in this case, more than 3 touchdowns, I think those ideas have to get thrown out the window. And you really need to look at the teams on the field, and you need to take into account the quality of the talent of the team that is favored. And in the Patriots' case, like, for me, this game is a pass. And in the past, it would be an automatic play on a massive dog. But I can't bring myself to do it because these teams are just so bad. Both of them are so bad.
Yeah, it's really tough. Though I can't see how anybody would touch the Dolphins. How are they going to score? I mean, Dallas is going to kill them, right?
Yeah, and Dallas looks like just a juggernaut. They look amazing. And the, you know, what they did in week one against the Giants in that second quarter where Dak Prescott sort of blew up, was impressive. And then they did the same exact thing against the Redskins. And the Redskins were keeping that game close, and in the second quarter, the Cowboys just sort of figured it out. They realized that they're better physically, that they're faster, that as a football team, they could do things with the Redskins that probably in the first quarter they were trying to figure out how much better they were. And I think that the same exact thing could happen against the Dolphins, a team that clearly has just sort of given up, right? Mm-hmm. And we've never seen sort of a real tank in the NFL the way we saw it with the Sixers in the NBA. But I have a feeling that this is what tanking in the NFL looks like.
Well, we look forward to it. Chad Millman of the Action Network. You can go to theactionnetwork.com and see not only the current line, but the number of bets, the percentage of bets. For example, in the Falcons game, Falcons have been bet down to a 1-point underdog, but the money's coming in on the Falcons. Right now, though, in that game, that's the Dallas game, which is 21.5 at the moment, 78% of the money's still coming in on the Cowboys. I don't know how you would – in those two games, I don't know how you don't take the favorite if for no other reason than you can't trust – Dallas could have that game covered with 10 minutes to go in the first half. Right.
Yeah, it's really hard to – look, if you don't like your money and you want to be on the edge of your seat the whole time and you want to be anxious you bet the underdogs in this game. If you feel like you want to be comfortable, then you probably bet the favorites. The problem with these things is that the backdoor cover, you know, it's a junk touchdown at the end of the game when one of these teams is up by 28 points, That's where these lines are right now. And the Cowboys, the way the spread is, I know guys who have told me that they're professional bettors who have told me they power rate the Cowboys as 28 points better than the Dolphins. But, you know, that last-ditch Hail Mary touchdown pass that all of a sudden takes it from 28 to 21, and you've lost your game.
Yep, the old bad beat. Hey, Chad, do appreciate.
Take care, guys.
Chad Millman of the Action Network, a cool site if you're inclined to wager, just look at it. Go check out the Action Network because it's not just, oh, here's a static line. You can see the money coming. You can actually see the line moving and the money and the bets being made. You know, the flashes and the percentage of money moves. It's really kind of cool. Kind of a neat thing, the Action Network. All right, when we get back, college football getting ready to roar to life Thursday night, Friday night games, and, of course, the big day Saturday. What we expect to see with John and you on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.